pruebas de certificación. Escucharás el audio dos veces. Dispones de 2 minutos para leer la tarea, 1 minuto entre escuchas, 1 minuto al finalizar la segunda escucha. Tarea 1.
So let's start out with the basic idea that there's this debate in this country over global warming. There's some people who call it a complete hoax, and there are some people who completely embrace it. Where do you stand in that spectrum?
Well, I at one time was very much embracing the whole concept that we had a real problem, we had to do something about it. Back in 1988, James Hansen actually was the impetus for that for me in his presentation before Congress. But as I learned more and more about the issue, I discovered that maybe it's not as bad as it's made out to be. Some of it is hype, but there's also some data that has not been explored, and there's been some investigations that need to be done that haven't been done. And so now I'm in the camp of, we have some global warming, no doubt about it, but it may not be as bad as we originally thought because there are other contributing factors.
What?
There's a term that was used, it's called noble cause corruption. Actually, I was a victim of that at one time, where you're so fervent in your belief that you have to do something. You're saving the planet, you're making a difference, you're making things better, that you're so focused on this goal of fixing it or changing that you kind of forget to look along the path to make sure that you haven't missed some things. And I started looking into the idea that our urbanization affected the temperature. And over the last 100 years, our country, in fact the world, has changed. We've gone from having mostly a rural agrarian society to one that is more urban and city-based. And as a result, the infrastructure has increased. We've got more freeways, you know, more airports, all these things. Those are all heat sinks. During the day, solar insulation hits these objects and these surfaces, and it stores heat in these objects. At night, it releases that heat. Now, if you are measuring temperature in a city that went from having maybe 10% of non-permeable surface to, you know, maybe 90% over 100 years, that's a heat sink effect, and that should show up in the record. The problem is that it's been such a slow, subtle change over the last 100 years, it's not easy to detect, and that's been the challenge, and that's what I've been working on.
Essentially, you're saying that the records they're using for documenting the temperature at any given time aren't exactly accurate?
I'm saying that the data might be biased by these influences to a percentage. Yes, we have some global warming. It's clear the temperature has gone up in the last 100 years. But what percentage of that is from carbon dioxide, and what percentage of that is from changes in the local measurement environment?
You say that there are people invested in promoting the concern about global warming. Dr. Muller at the University of California at Berkeley had similar concerns, went back and looked at the data, and concluded there is global warming, and it comes from carbon dioxide, which is made by man. Do you buy that?
Unfortunately, he has not succeeded in terms of how science views, you know, a successful inquiry. His papers have not passed peer review. They had some problems. For example, he goes much further back to about 1750 in terms of temperature. Well, from my own studies, I know that temperature really wasn't validated and homogenized, where everything was measured the same way, until the Weather Bureau came into being about 1890. Prior to that, thermometers were exposed to the atmosphere in all kinds of different ways. Some were hung under the shade of trees, some were on the north side of houses, some were out in the open in the sun. And so the temperature fluctuations that we got from those readings prior to 1890 was quite broad. And I don't believe they provide a representative signal because the exposure is all wrong. And Dr. Muller did not take any of that into account.
I want to ask you a little bit about attitudes toward this among the public. We talked to a public opinion specialist at Stanford who says there's been 80% belief in global warming and man-made global warming throughout this country for the last 15 years. Do you buy that?
Well, I've looked at a number of opinion polls. You'll find a lot of them on my blog. And depending on how you ask the question, we'll sometimes give you a different answer. My view is that the view of global warming peaked about at the time that Al Gore came out with his movie, An Inconvenient Truth. But ever since then, other factors have kicked in, and it has become less of an issue. In fact, you hardly see politicians talking about it anymore or pushing it as an issue. And so people, I believe, based on the polls I've seen, aren't quite as believing as they used to be, and I think the trend is downward.
Should the Congress, should the American public say, you know, nothing's been proven yet, we should wait, or should we go ahead with trying to solve what many people consider a really scary problem?
You mentioned a really scary problem, and I think that's part of the issues. Some people don't respond well to scare tactics, and there have been some scare tactics used by some of the proponents on the other side of the issue. And that's where the overselling of it comes in. But this is a slow problem, and it requires a slow solution, I believe. For example, our infrastructure for electricity and so forth and highways didn't happen in 5 years or 10 years. It happened over a century. We can't just rip all that up or change it in the space of 5, 10, or 15 years because it'll be catastrophic to our economy.
Do you consider yourself a skeptic on global warming?
I would call myself a pragmatic skeptic. Yes, we need to make some changes in our energy technology. More efficient technology is a good thing. For example, I have done energy reductions in my office and in my home to make things more efficient. So I think those are good things. Those are good messages that we should be embracing. But at the same time, I think that some of the issues have been oversold, and they've been oversold because they allow for more regulation to take place. And so as a result, we might be getting more regulation and more taxes that really aren't rooted in science, but more in politics.
So let's start out with the basic idea that there's this debate in this country over global warming. There's some people who call it a complete hoax, and there are some people who completely embrace it. Where do you stand in that spectrum?
Well, I at one time was very much embracing the whole concept that we had a real problem, we had to do something about it. Back in 1988, James Hansen actually was the impetus for that for me in his presentation before Congress. But as I learned more and more about the issue, I discovered that maybe it's not as bad as it's made out to be. Some of it is hype, but there's also some data that has not been explored, and there's been some investigations that need to be done that haven't been done. And so now I'm in the camp of, we have some global warming, no doubt about it, but it may not be as bad as we originally thought because there are other contributing factors.
What?
There's a term that was used. It's called noble cause corruption. Actually, I was a victim of that at one time, where you're so fervent in your belief that you have to do something. You're saving the planet, you're making a difference, you're making things better, that you're so focused on this goal of fixing it or changing that you kind of forget to look along the path to make sure that you haven't missed some things. And I started looking into the idea that our urbanization affected the temperature. And over the last 100 years, our country, in fact the world, has changed. We've gone from having mostly a rural agrarian society to one that is more urban and city-based. And as a result, the infrastructure has increased. We've got more freeways, you know, more airports, all these things. Those are all heat sinks. During the day, solar insulation hits these objects and these surfaces, and it stores heat in these objects. At night, it releases that heat. Now, if you are measuring temperature in a city that went from having maybe 10% of non-permeable surface to, you know, maybe 90% over 100 years, that's a heat sink effect, and that should show up in the record. The problem is that it's been such a slow, subtle change over the last 100 years, it's not easy to detect, and that's been the challenge, and that's what I've been working on.
Essentially, you're saying that the records they're using for documenting the temperature at any given time aren't exactly accurate?
I'm saying that the data might be biased by these influences to a percentage. Yes, we have some global warming. It's clear the temperature has gone up in the last 100 years. But what percentage of that is from carbon dioxide, and what percentage of that is from changes in the local and measurement environment?
You say that there are people invested in promoting the concern about global warming. Dr. Muller at the University of California at Berkeley had similar concerns, went back and looked at the data, and concluded there is global warming, and it comes from carbon dioxide, which is made by man. Do you buy that?
Unfortunately, he has not succeeded in terms of how science views, you know, a successful inquiry. His papers have not passed peer review. They had some problems. For example, he goes much further back to about 1750 in terms of temperature. Well, from my own studies, I know that temperature really wasn't validated and homogenized, where everything was measured the same way, until the Weather Bureau came into being about 1890. Prior to that, thermometers were exposed to the atmosphere in all kinds of different ways. Some were hung under the shade of trees, some were on the north side of houses, some were out in the open in the sun. And so the temperature fluctuations that we got from those readings prior to 1890 was quite broad. And I don't believe they provide a representative signal because the exposure is all wrong. And Dr. Muller did not take any of that into account.
I want to ask you a little bit about attitudes toward this among the public. We talked to a public opinion specialist at Stanford who says there's been 80% belief in global warming and man-made global warming throughout this country for the last 15 years. Do you buy that?
Well, I've looked at a number of opinion polls. You'll find a lot of them on my blog. And depending on how you ask the question, will sometimes give you a different answer. My view is that the view of global warming peaked about at the time that Al Gore came out with his movie, An Inconvenient Truth. But ever since then, other factors have kicked in, and it has become less of an issue. In fact, you hardly see politicians talking about it anymore or pushing it as an issue. And so people, I believe, based on the polls I've seen, aren't quite as believing as they used to be, and I think the trend is downward.
Should the Congress, should the American public say, you know, nothing's been proven yet, we should wait? Or should we go ahead with trying to solve what many people consider a really scary problem?
You mentioned a really scary problem, and I think that's part of the issues. Some people don't respond well to scare tactics, and there have been some scare tactics used by some of the proponents on the other side of the issue. And that's where the overselling of it comes in. But this is a slow problem, and it requires a slow solution, I believe. For example, our infrastructure for electricity and so forth and highways didn't happen in 5 years or 10 years. It happened over a century. We can't just rip all that up or change it in the space of 5, 10, or 15 years because it'll be catastrophic to our economy.
Do you consider yourself a skeptic on global warming?
I would call myself a pragmatic skeptic. Yes, we need to make some changes in our energy technology. More efficient technology is a good thing. For example, I have done energy reductions in my office and in my home to make things more efficient. So I think those are good things. Those are good messages that we should be embracing. But at the same time, I think that some of the issues have been oversold, and they've been oversold because they allow for more regulation to take place. And so as a result, we might be getting more regulation and more taxes that really aren't rooted in science, but more in politics.